Blog Talk Radio.
We're live.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to All Things Charity with Richard Rosman, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, everyone out there, happy Sunday. This is January 19th. Already January is almost in the bag, over halfway through. I'm sure many of you are looking at your to-do list for 2014, all of those wish lists. Let's get rid of the extra tire, spare tire. Let's go out and help a homeless person. Let's mentor a kid. Let's go out back to school and finish that degree. 2 weeks into it, what have you done? An adage to that, at the gym, Spectrum, where I go, January 2nd and 3rd, the place was jammed. I went in there today before the show. I know there's a game on, and everybody's watching Denver, and they're going to be watching Frisco. However, the place was not jammed. And I was talking to the guy, and he said, Rick, he goes, like normal, first week, it's everybody wants to lose the weight, and then it slowly winds down, and we settle back down into our comfort zones. The idea with this show is to break out of the comfort zone. We spend our life in the comfort zone, but we miss out our greatest growth and our greatest opportunities to live an extraordinary life. I'm going to use an example, and I use it all the time. Nelson Mandela. As you know, with the Osmua Foundation, we were in South Africa in Soweto last October, and we spent 12 days in Soweto working with hospitals, school, churches. The situation there is just horrid. People have no running water. They have no shelter. They have no hope. AIDS is rampant. Drugs are rampant. Dropout rate is rampant. You can get overwhelmed, but these people were happy. They seemed happy, not in their poverty, but they were happy that we came. They were happy that a group from California, actually the United States, because many of our people come from other states, actually went down there to help. And we spent time in the hospital. We spent time with the church, and we visited folks in their homes. And I got to tell you, for the lack of physical things that they possess, they had a degree of happiness, which here in the United States, it's all about grab, 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 grab. And there's nothing wrong with having possessions. You need them to live. That's not, you know, what did the Christ say? What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? There's nothing wrong with wealth. It's if it's wealth is wealth, if you how you handle that wealth. My challenge to you in 2014, as it's been for every single show, get out there. You know what? Right around the corner from your house, there might be a senior citizen home. And you know what? There's some senior citizens that haven't been visited and probably since they've been put in there. And if you walked in the lobby, there'd be 10 people in wheelchairs and blankets just staring out the door who thinking, you came for me. And you go out there and you talk to each one for 5 or 10 minutes. Believe me, you'll feel better. They'll feel better. And it will be a step for you to get out and get involved. And it's something so simple. You can reach us at richard.rosman@allthingscharityradio.com. That's richard.rosman@allthingscharity.com. www.allthingscharityradio.com. Call in 818-602-4429. 418-602-4929. I don't have my glasses on. A little bit more about what's been going on in my life. Last night was Olive Crest. We had our fundraiser at Bonefish Cafe up in Northridge. I salute that group. When they have a grand opening, they bring in Olive Crest, and the proceeds go to Olive Crest. And for those of you who are not aware what Olive Crest is, it is basically a Southern California-based nonprofit. When an abused child is removed from their home and they cannot go back, most likely they'll end up in an Olive Crest facility. And my hats off to Bill Bedrosian, the director over there. The silent auction was great. The auction was great. The food was fantastic. And the folks from Bonefish said they're going to have another grand opening. They're going to do it again. They had one in Irvine about a month ago, and the amount of money they raised was just incredible. So my shout out to Bonefish and Olive Crest. Also this week we had Nifty meet with Jefferson. Nifty, National Foundation for Teaching Entrepreneurship. They have a great big program in Crenshaw High, where I've been a business judge, and you get to go in and see what the kids can do with business. And you think in here in Crenshaw High, which is South Central, what can these kids come up with? And the ideas are phenomenal. We introduced the concept to Jefferson, and we're going to put it on the their school in September. And National Foundation for Teaching Entrepreneurship will be there. It's a great national organization. We need help. We need judges. We need fundraisers. We need everything that every nonprofit needs. So if you're interested, you know, hey, get in touch with me. You know how to. We were out at Holy Name of Jesus. As you know, I'm involved in STEP. That's stepwithus.org. I'm president of that one. If you go to stepwithus.org, we provide inner-city children parochial school educations. And right now, Holy Name of Jesus on 33rd has room for about 70 kids with scholarships. So if anybody knows kids that could take advantage from grades 1 through, I want to go 1 through 8. They may not take 8th grade now because we're already halfway through, but 7th grade for sure, 5th, 6th, 4th, all the way down. Anybody, they get a parochial school education. We also help get them into a cathedral Bourbon Day on a high school level. 98% of our kids finish high school. And of that, a big percentage go on to college. That was just last week. As you know, All Things Charity Radio, we do not charge our guests. There's no commercials. We just have a great time here explaining why and how and what you can do to make a difference. So again, New Year's resolutions, get out there. Go do something. American Idol's great. But you know what? Those people on American Idol, they're living their dream. What is yours? And again, get out of the comfort zone. Go to a food bank, man or a child. Those of you that are retired school teachers, English, math teachers, you know, Union Rescue Mission right now has 100. As you know, Andy Bales is a dear friend of ours. There's 100 kids under 18 living at the Union Rescue Mission where the school bus pulls up, takes them to middle school, grammar school, high school, and they could use a lot of help with tutoring. So there's time, talent, and treasure. The whole idea is to get involved. And for those of you that are listening that are outside of the LA area, because this show carries, search out a nonprofit in your area, but make the commitment to get involved. All right, one last thing is as you know, I've told you the dilemma and the trials of my household with my wife getting into medical school. She got in. However, even with the great GPA at UCLA, at age 42, getting into a U.S. school, so there's a couple of schools in the Caribbean. There's Ross on Dominica, and there's St. George on Grenada. Sheila chose Ross of Dominica, and she's in week 3. And I'm living the life of a bachelor, which has been quite challenging for me, but I'll survive. And we Skype and we talk, and so far, so good for Sheila. And they say if she gets through the first semester, but there's 5 semesters offshore, so we'll keep you appraised about how that's going. And we'll tell you more of the plans we have when she does finish and go from there. Today, though, we have a special guest. And you know, every week we have a guest on the show. The guest on the show is somebody who is doing something for the betterment of the human condition. Whether it's working with the homeless, whether it's working with the oppressed, whether it's working with some marginalized group in our society. And they have seen the need. As you know, the story of the Good Samaritan. How many people, when the Christ gave the sermon of the good, I'm losing my mind here, the sermon of the Good Samaritan, how many people walked by and were just oblivious to the need of the person on the side of the road who was injured? Then there were those who walked by and were aware, and they looked and go, oh my God, I can't get involved. I can't get involved in that. How many folks out there have said, I can't get involved? I know there's a need, but I can't get involved. That's fear, and that's got to step out of the comfort zone. And then along came the Good Samaritan, and he said, you know, that guy needs help, and I'm going to help him. And he took him to the inn, and you know the rest of the story. Our guest today has worldwide knows there's a need, international needs, let alone domestic needs. He's got a heart of gold. I've known him for a number of years. An incredible background. He comes to us as a former engineer, and now an author and a humanitarian and an advocate for those that do not have a voice. So today, my guest is John Cha. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Rick. Glad to be here.
Amen. And John brought his wife, Kathleen, and I've known them both for quite a while. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your history before you got involved in doing what you're doing?
I came to the United States when I was 15.
Okay.
And ever since I came here, you know, they wouldn't know where I was from. So I'm always telling them, yeah, I'm from Korea. And then people ask you, what is Korea? So so I spent most of my life talking about Korea. And I wanted to tell people where it was, what it does, about its cultures, so on and so forth. And you know, Korean history is very complex. It's very complicated because the Japanese colonization history, plus the Korean War, and, you know, there's a lot of oppression over there in North Korea and South Korea, and it's very difficult to talk about North and South Korea because, well, a lot of people don't know the difference. And so I decided to write about this, and that's how I started, you know, writing books. And because it's so complicated, I decided to use, you know, tell the stories about Korea through individuals.
Mm-hmm.
So, individual characters, and I pick, for instance, I picked Susan Ahn, and she, through her life, her father was a very famous person in Korea, and he was a nationalist, independence worker, and you know, freedom fighter, so on and so forth. And he worked all his life, you know, looking for, trying to get freedom for Korea from Japan. And he, because of his passion for freedom and independence for Koreans, his daughter, Susan, she was born in Los Angeles in 1915. And, well, actually, we celebrated her 99th birthday last night.
She's still with us.
She's still with us.
Wow.
And I kidded her that, wow, she was born the same year as Frank Sinatra.
Well, that's what song? That's life. Or I did it my way.
Anyway, she outlived Frank Sinatra and most other people, but she followed her father's steps and decided to join the Navy.
That's the U.S. Navy.
U.S. Navy.
Okay, and in those days, being Asian was probably not that welcoming, I would imagine. I'm just guessing.
Especially a woman.
Okay, so a woman, yeah. Okay.
And she first applied for officer's training. She went to San Diego State College, university at that time, and she didn't get accepted. And, you know, she applied for Navy training, officer's training, with a whole bunch of other women, her friends. And she was far more qualified than any others, you know, but they turned her down because she was Asian or Oriental. And so then she waited a year and she applied for a wave, sort of like a grunt, you might say.
Sure.
And so she got accepted there. And then she did so well that they recommended that she go to officer school. So she ended up getting becoming a lieutenant or a junior grade lieutenant to start with. And then she ends up teaching American and Royal Air Force fighter pilots how to fly. So in the Pacific War, she ended up with a whole bunch of pilots and training them and how to fly and how to navigate.
What was her background? Engineering? Or she just picked this stuff up?
She just picked this stuff up.
Okay.
Yeah, she was, of course, she went through trainer school.
Sure, right. Oh, she went through flight training school. Okay, all right.
And
by the way, as a female during the war period, flight training school was more reserved for the men. That had to be a milestone in its own.
Yes, okay. It was. Yeah.
Okay.
They wanted to retrain the pilots about this new radar system, and they figured out women instructors are much better in getting this new thing and then, you know, informing the pilots. And she ended up training, you know, pilots with bars and, you know, the hot dogs, you might say.
Pappy Boyington and Ted Williams and all those guys. Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. But before she went to Navy, she was a baseball player. She was recruited to play for Bing Crosby Crew Nets. Mm-hmm. Bing Crosby had a baseball team at that time. You remember that movie, League of Their Own?
Yeah.
And all the guys left, so they ended up with the women a league. And she was recruited for that.
Okay.
And she decided not to play. She joined the Navy instead. So anyway, through her life, and then after World War II,
wasn't she translating things to John and working in code? And
yeah.
I mean, why don't we talk about? I mean, there was some major things that she was involved in.
Yeah.
That are extraordinary that you won't read in the history books. Why don't you talk about? Is that okay to go there and basically say what? Didn't she have a hand in maybe breaking some codes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, she did.
Okay.
A couple of codes, actually.
Okay.
And she was, after the war ended, she was recruited for Naval Intelligence.
Okay.
And so she went to Naval Intelligence, and from there, she went on to what is now called NSA.
Mm-hmm.
And in NSA, she had a crew of about 300 linguists and mathematicians
mm-hmm.
under her, and she was directing them to break Japanese codes, German codes, and Russian codes.
Wow.
Yeah, and so they did that. Her strength was that she was a liaison officer for Library of Congress, mm-hmm. because when she first reported to Naval Intelligence Building, her captain saw this Asian woman or wearing a Navy uniform, and
oh God, I can imagine what that was. Yeah,
and he was scared to death.
Uh huh.
And he was
out of his comfort zone.
he wouldn't let her see any secret documents or other things she was supposed to do. So he ended up assigning her to Library of Congress as a liaison officer. Because Library of Congress, I mean, it has a huge collection of books and stuff. So she was there for a year or two. She ended up knowing where everything was in the Library of Congress. So when somebody asks, what about this? Or we got this telegram from the field, and what do you think? And she would go, oh, well, look there. And so she had that kind of mind. And
wow.
So everything she did was sort of intuitive. I mean, this was mm-hmm. before the days of computers.
Sure,
so,
yeah.
So, but she had this kind of intuition that led or directed all these bright minds. I think she had, out of 300, I think she had the top students out of Harvard and Yale, mm-hmm. all those elite schools. Mm-hmm. And anyway, her group ended up breaking the Russian codes.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that is, wow, that's heavy stuff. that's heavy stuff. So she worked in like NSA for quite a while.
Yeah, for quite a while.
Okay.
She went, she retired from NSA in 1960.
Okay.
And so then she ended up going into a restaurant business with her sister and brother.
Military intelligence to a restaurant. That's
restaurant business.
Okay, that's very, very, okay. I can see the connection, I think.
The name of the restaurant was Moongate,
okay.
Out of Panorama City.
Mm-hmm.
And her older brother, his name was Phil Hahn, and he was an actor and an easily recognized name at that time. And mm-hmm. you might remember he was the He was a guy in Kung Fu series.
Mm-hmm.
He was ended up a master.
Mm-hmm.
He played that.
Oh, okay. Know, okay.
Grasshopper.
Grasshopper, yeah. Let's go back to her award. Was she formally, when she retired, did they give her the credit that she deserved for her dedication? I mean, first of all, I know NSA is sort of a clandestine organization, and they probably don't give awards for accomplishments because they don't want to tip their hand. But was she recognized by the time she retired for the contribution she made to basically saving our hides in World War II?
No.
No.
See, I think at that time they were told, if you say anything,
yeah, sure,
you know,
where, right.
I mean, I think she had to swear.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was interviewing her some years ago, I tried to ask her a lot of questions about NSA
wouldn't
and what she did.
Yeah, right.
She wouldn't say anything.
She
wouldn't say anything because she did tell me once that, yeah, I made a promise.
Sure.
If I say anything, I know I'll be shot.
Okay, there you go. There you go. Okay. So this remarkable woman now has a restaurant, and you wrote a book on her, and
yeah.
She's still around. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. She's 99 years old. And in Korean age, she's 100. So we did this big, huge celebration last night, you know, for celebrating her 100s. And a lot of people came. I was happy to see Mark Willie Thomas
mm-hmm.
was there,
mm-hmm.
and he gave her a toast.
Okay.
And they go back a while.
Sure.
And they're good friends. And when they met, when Susan made a speech for Obama.
Okay.
There was a big rally at UCLA.
Okay.
She was asked to speak, so
mm-hmm.
she went up to the mic, and she said, you know, I'm a Republican, but, you know, I support Obama because he's honest,
mm-hmm.
and he reminded me of my father.
There you go.
Okay. There you go. So
okay. So you're writing books on, is that the only, have you written books on other American Koreans or?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, tell us a little bit about that, and then tell us what you're really up to.
Well, through Susan, you know, I got to cover this complicated part of history through her father's life.
By the way, what's the name of the book?
Over to, name of the book is called Willow Tree Shade.
Willow Tree Shade, and it can
Willow
be
Tree
at Barnes.
Shade.
You can go online, Amazon.
Amazon.
John
yeah.
Chaw author, and the you know the royalties don't hurt, right?
No.
Okay.
But yeah, thanks for letting me say the title.
Oh, you can, absolutely, yeah.
But so we cover, you know, her father's era plus World War II,
mm-hmm.
and then come to her, you know, intelligence days, and so the book ends with World War II,
mm-hmm.
and after that, I wrote a book about this entrepreneur. His name was Young Pack, and he came to the United States with $50,
mm-hmm.
and he became a gazillionaire.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, he was one of the things was negotiating to buy U.S. Steel.
Okay.
And so he created a huge market in the steel industry. He invented special kind of steel beams, and so that took off real well. So his story starts with end of or start of end of World War II and into Korean War, and so through him I get to write about, you know, what Korean War was and how he survived and came to America, and he won the Entrepreneur of the Year award. You know,
mm-hmm. sure,
Bill,
I looked at it. Yeah,
you know, Bill Gates and
yeah.
these kind of guys went. So I wrote about him.
Mm-hmm. Was he in Korea during the war?
Yes.
Yes, he was. Then he immigrated
after.
He
was,
okay.
yeah. And he escaped from North Korea.
Oh, my.
Right. By himself as a young man, figuring that, you know, he'd be back home in a week or so. He thought he was just escaping for a week or so. Ended up, you know, he in the upstate, when not being able to go home for 40 years. So he eventually goes back to see his mother. In 1995, he joins his mother after 45 years.
And she was in the north the whole time.
She was in the north.
Okay.
And that
cut
was
off,
right. Yeah.
Okay.
And that was but that was his dream every day, and he ended up being allowed. The way he did that was he went to North Korea as part of the representative for economic development for North Korea. There was a U.S. delegation to go to North Korea to talk about this economic development, and he was part of the delegation. When he was asked, he said, "I'll go if you let me see my mother."
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the conditions. So he ended up seeing her.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, John, the you got a book writing career, which you've written about a number of, so you've written about the dictators, and walk through your, you know, how did you handle talking about the North Korean leaders and that type of thing?
Well,
what's the name of the book on the entrepreneur?
It's called The Do or Die Entrepreneur.
Do or Die Entrepreneur. Is it online? Amazon.
Yeah.
Books on. Okay, books on tape. The whole nine yards. Okay.
Books on tape. No, it's not on tape.
Okay.
It's you can get it online.
Kindle and all that.
Kindle.
Though. Yeah, sure.
Kindle,
okay.
Yeah. And it's a great story. And while I was writing that book, I was introduced to this North Korean scholar, and he was a very highly placed North Korean official. His name was Hwang, Jang Yup. I'll just refer to him as Hwang.
Sure.
But he was the president of Kim Il-sung University, and he was very highly placed in a party, in North Korean Labor Party. And he defected to South Korea in 1997.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a huge deal because Hwang was advisor to Kim Il-sung,
mm-hmm.
the old man himself, and also he was a mentor to Kim Jong-il.
Mm-hmm.
Kim Jong-il is father of the current guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so he saw firsthand what, you know, how North Korea became what it is. So I figure that for a lot of Americans or in the Western world, it's hard for them to understand, you know, how North Korea operates.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, I'll write about Hwang and his experience in North Korea. So I interviewed him for about 5 years and went to Korea back and forth. And he was under protection, of course, and, you know, he was target number one by North Korean special forces, and they're trying to kill him all the time. So,
I imagine you're not exactly on everybody. I don't think everybody loves you after your book on his life. Or
no, they don't like me.
No,
Don't like me very well.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I hope they don't know about me.
Yeah. Okay, so John, we have about 20 minutes left. I want to talk about so you've written these wonderful books. They're all available. Go John Cha author. Your current passion, this has led to where you are today.
Right.
And you have a dream and a mission in the last part of your life to do what?
Yeah. Well, before I go into I really want to congratulate you, Rick, for doing all the stuff you're doing.
Not necessarily. Yeah. We don't have the time.
Oh.
I appreciate that.
Well, anyway, you're the one who inspired me to go into this. What I'm up
to. Kathy, you can blame me, Kathy. Wow.
I saw what you're doing for all these kids, and so I said, okay. I ran into some North Korean orphan kids.
Okay, how can a North Korean orphan kid be in South Korea? Did they just wander across the border? Did they escape?
They escaped.
Okay.
From north to China.
Okay.
Northeastern part of China.
Okay.
And then they hole out over there for, you know, for some time, for a year or so, because they're still under people search for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then they travel down, either walk or take a train or bus down to the southern part of the China towards
Hong Kong,
Laos.
Oh, Laos.
Laos.
Okay.
And then they go to Vietnam, mm-hmm. and then into Thailand. And then from Thailand, they catch a plane where they get shipped to South Korea to Seoul, if they're lucky. So that's a long route.
That's a long route.
Yeah, yeah. It takes them about a year and a half, maybe 2 years, to get to South Korea. And there are about 25,000 North Korean defectors living in South Korea now.
Oh, I didn't know. Okay.
And among them are real bright, bright people,
mm-hmm.
young people. And I want to bring them over here to America and give them education.
Okay.
And you drove me to all this because I was inspired by what you do in the inner cities and all that stuff. So.
Okay, so these are North Korean, South Korea, they can live in South Korea for the rest of their life without any problem because
right.
they're North Korean. Okay, so
yeah.
it's because of the Korean.
Yeah.
And right now, their educational opportunities are what? Can they go to a University of Seoul, or is there funding for them? Are they considered sort of outcasts? Like, oh, you know, you're not really, you're one of us, but you're not really one of us. Or is there Benny's benefits for them because of the fact that they have that kind of special status of being a, you know, a defector?
Yeah, all of the above.
Okay.
All of the above. When they first come, they get, they go through a transition period, and they do get to get help,
mm-hmm.
especially the kids. There are schools
mm-hmm.
in South Korea to educate
okay.
North Korean kids, and they speak the same language, but the kids, of course, they adjust faster.
Sure.
But older
yeah.
adults, at average, they take about 4 years to get to assimilate from North Korea to South Korea.
Mm-hmm.
The reason is, you know, it takes them that long to get rid of all that oppression, the dictatorship practices, and mm-hmm. you know, all that stuff. It takes them 4 years.
Okay.
But anyway, among them, they're really talented people, and
sure.
and they eventually want to go back to North Korea mm-hmm. when North and South unite.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, we believe, it's inevitable. Eventually will happen.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say a couple of years. Some people say 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to happen. When that happens, they're going to need a lot of leaders.
Mm-hmm. And you're educating the future leaders of North Korea who have...
In America. So that mm-hmm. we have friends in North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
That's because North Korean students or kids, they grow up thinking or believing, they're brainwashed to believe that Americans are evil.
Mm-hmm.
But some of us are okay. Samaritans, good Samaritans, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But they truly believe they're really scared of Americans.
Even the ones who've defected, we're okay staying in Seoul. Well, we're going to put you in Georgetown. No, I don't want to go to Georgetown. I don't want to go to Y. Would they accept the opportunity, or would they fight that and say, I'd rather stay here?
Well, they would accept the opportunity,
okay.
sure,
okay.
of course.
Okay.
And but they've been. They've thought all their lives that when they come to America, they're going to get killed or they're going to get shot or,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so there's that. But I think those who are here already have overcome that fear.
Are there any North Korean kids right now in the States that are in any
there are US some.
School? Are there?
Yeah.
Okay.
There are some.
Okay. Do they come in a special status, or you know who they are, but you're not? I mean, does the school know who they are? Like, for instance, they end up at Stanford. Does Stanford know that these kids just come from South Korea? They probably don't know anymore, or do you think they know that they are ultimately have defected from North Korea?
They don't know. Okay. They would know unless they, you know, the students, North Korean students, they unless they volunteer.
And how are they being funded in the States now?
They are not being funded.
Got it.
They
have out-of-country status, which is very high tuition, the highest
right.
tuitions out there.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they need different kind of program mm-hmm. because they have special needs, language,
sure. yes.
Culture,
mm-hmm.
Just everyday life is so different. And a lot of people here think the North Koreans are crazy, but they're not.
No, they're human beings. I mean, they just happen to have somebody who likes the limelight who says crazy things sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
And, and he plays basketball with Dennis Rodman, so there you go.
The people, they all want the same thing. They
sure.
want food.
Yes.
Which is hard to come by.
Yes.
A lot of people there. The elites over there, they live very well.
Sure.
And life luxury. But average person, you know, they need food. They want education for their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they want medical service for
sure.
their, and just like everybody else. And so when the North and South, when they unite, they're going to need a lot of this leadership. Leaders in every sector of the society.
So your goal right now is to find a mechanism, start it in a 501(c) or a nonprofit
right.
that will be able to bring these young people, whether it's here or even European schools or just limited to the United States, I don't know whether England or whatever, but bring them to Western schools
right.
and give them what, you know, first of all, special because they bring their own set of issues,
right.
but also and underwrite their curriculum, whether it's engineering or math or whatever it is,
right.
and get them educated in leadership.
Right.
And then when ultimately things
normalize
yeah. they will have then go back in leadership positions in the North.
Yes. And
okay.
that way
okay.
they need to open up their country to survive.
Sure.
And they need to know how to get along or get on with Western leaders, and I mean the world is so different from
yes.
you know it's progressed quite a bit, and so
it's with social media and everything, we know everything now.
Yes.
There's
yes.
no transparency. I mean it's all transparent. Where are you in the process of this, John? This is a great undertaking. You've done a lot in your life, and now you've got this great goal out there. How has the Korean community embraced it, or?
Oh, they're very excited about
okay.
it.
Okay,
okay. But what you want to do is we just want to do it one at a time.
One kid at a time.
One kid
okay.
at a time.
Okay.
And we want to bring them in, hook them up with the university,
mm-hmm.
Bring scholarship for him or her to the university, and set up programs for them so that they'll go through, because obviously they can't stay with the rest of the student body.
Could they stay with a Korean household, a South Korean family who may be in the United States? And was that something?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, we're looking for that. We're looking for homestay.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking for any kind of support
okay.
for the scholarship fund. We want to do a 501(c)(3) to establish scholarship for them and call
okay.
them. You know, friendship scholarship
mm-hmm.
or something like that,
mm-hmm.
so that we can produce leaders who are, you know, who will be friends of America.
Sure. Where are you in the process of all this? This is a
we're just starting.
Just starting. Okay.
Yeah, we're just starting, and we have a couple of candidates we're going to bring over this summer.
Students?
Students
this summer. Okay.
Students. Yeah. So we want to give them language training. We're looking for. Homestay, looking for schools,
mm-hmm.
hopefully volunteer,
mm-hmm.
you know, a language. But the ultimately what we want to have one is the Alpha Scholarship Fund for them, and then work with other organizations. I drag my wife in. She's involved in.
she's smiling.
she's busier than me.
well,
she's involved in educational and.
This sounds right up her alley, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, yeah. AEW, this oldest women organization in the United States, and she serves on the national board. And she goes, she went to Washington D.C. all the time, and but mostly policy, policy making. But I want her group to get involved in practical things. Actually, sponsor kids from. North Korea or from Iran, which
Uganda. Would we use other countries? It wouldn't just be limited to North Korean.
Eventually, it would
be others. Okay,
yeah,
but I think the immediate need is huge. If North Korea implodes, you need there could be tons of children and young people who need that
leadership training. So I see that as very urgent. Because, you know, I have a Korean background. But ultimately, wife Kathy, she's going to UN, and she's going to discuss a lot of this stuff over there with the UN delegations. But anyway, I'm going to lean on her to help with this.
Sure. And right now, though, you look as any – have you targeted – I know you don't want to name names. You've targeted schools and all that. You don't want to put it – but is there schools in mind?
Yeah.
Okay, you got schools in mind.
We have schools in mind, and we're talking to a couple of them.
And they haven't said that's a good idea.
Good idea.
Let's explore it further. Okay.
Yeah. They're interested.
Okay.
And because they realize that. Let me back up a little bit about Young Pak.
Yeah.
When he went to University of Oregon, he got a scholarship to go there. The reason he got the scholarship to go to Oregon was because they had, in the University of Oregon, they had a Japanese student who, and he was a very good student, but he was so mistreated in Oregon so that after World War II, he's the guy that actually signed this document, on Missouri.
Wow.
And they said, okay, we don't want to produce enemies here. We want friends. So they sought out Young Pak because he was Korean. But you know, in those days, they couldn't tell the difference.
Right.
So that's how he got into University of Oregon at that time. And that's so.
Okay.
But you know, we need to build friendship. We need friends in North Korea, and you know, there are a lot of troubled areas all around the world.
Have you approached the national? I know the LA Korean Chamber of Commerce. I imagine the National Korean Chamber of Commerce, or the California Korean Chamber of Commerce. There's huge Korean populations.
Yeah.
Would be an ideal place to knock on the door. I don't know whether you have or you haven't, but that's
I'm talking to a number of them. But we're looking for angels, and we'll look for angels anywhere. You know,
so you're looking right now. You're looking for money.
Money and
doors open, and somebody can open doors.
Right.
To the need of bringing in, and right now you mentioned there's 25,000. In South Korea, of those, how many would want, I mean, what percentage would come to the States if they had unlimited money? Would all 25,000 go through the training, or would you imagine 5,000-6,000? What would you imagine?
Oh, no, I would imagine maybe in the hundreds.
In the hundreds, got it. Okay, and of course, as more come through and filter in, be able to have a process where they get, you know, out to the different schools that are on contract and all of that.
I hope,
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Has anybody done anything like this before with any other ethnic group?
Not that I know of.
No. So to get to get to where you've never been, we've got to do what you've never done.
Never done, yeah. So it's going to be a challenge.
It's going to be a challenge.
I understand that.
Yeah.
I realize that. But I think there have been, you know, a lot of good work done previously. But
and if there is a 501(c), but let's say right now there isn't, but a college opens their door and some angel says, look, I'll donate to your university scholarship fund. So there's the 501(c). They get their deduction, but they can earmark it for these particular group of students. Am I not correct on that?
Yes.
Yeah, I know that's done all the time.
Yeah.
So that without having to, but where are you informing the 501(c)? Are you starting the ball on that? Because that, as you know, that takes about a year to get those things up and running.
Are we asking you a lot of questions?
I think I defer to Shana. Shana's an expert at that.
I'll be asking Shana a lot of questions.
And this is going to be a national basis. This is going to be probably international. There's probably Koreans who live in England, Koreans who live anywhere in the world who would have they all have skin in this game.
Right.
They have a horse in this race.
Yes.
To make this work.
Yes.
So if a Korean ended up immigrating to Chile or Argentina, he knows and then she knows what's going on, and they would say that's a good thing to do. Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Heavy stuff, John. Heavy stuff. And you've got the core. Have you got any? You've knocked on some doors, and I'm sure last night at this group thing, they all know who you are, and they probably, most of them know what you're up to now.
Yes.
And most of them probably have bought into it and said, count me in.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
I have a lot of those, and I've talked to a number of people, and they're very excited about what this is, and yes, eventually, this leadership training, you need that. I know you're doing that.
Yes.
And I want to take notes from what you do too, and do the similar thing for these people.
Yes. And the average age of the young ones, are they all 18, 19, 20, or are they?
Oh, they range. Yeah, from we have a school in Korea now, in South Korea.
Okay.
Of North Korean kids, and they range from elementary school. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And they were able to get out. That's remarkable.
Yeah.
All right.
And to college age.
All right. John, in a couple of minutes we've got left, how do people reach – okay, I know we've had a lot of things on this show where we've gone and asked, gone to the well. Here's one where it could change not just something in the United States, it could change the world. North Korea, we all know, has it been in the news? We all know that it's not been in the news favorably. Personally, I had no idea that there was escapees from North Korea who live in South Korea who then taking the next step to education. And here's somebody who's filling that gap, seeing the need, and says, I will help fill that gap for these children. John, how do they get in touch with you? What's the best place to go if somebody wants to get involved in saving the world and helping to teach and get these young people educated and with the leadership program, et cetera? Where would they go?
They can let me leave an email address.
Yes, please.
Okay. It's Vallejo. Oh, no. That one was too hard.
That is hard to spell,
yeah.
Chuck.
Okay. Let me get you an easier one.
Yeah, please.
It's a author, J. Cha.
Author J. Cha. A-U-T-H-O-R-J-C-H-A. All lowercase?
All lowercase.
Okay.
At yahoo.com.
Author J. Cha at yahoo.com.
Yes.
And if anybody's interested, you can email John. Do you got a phone number you're willing to give up? Or
phone number, area code 415-373-2580.
Say it again.
415-373-2580.
Have you come up with a name for the nonprofit?
Not yet.
All right.
Something to do with love.
This is about a wrap for the show, ladies and gentlemen. You heard an opportunity to actually get involved and change the world, whether it's time, John needs the talent or treasure, most of that on treasure. But if you've got talent and connections to some of the major universities in the United States or elsewhere who might be interested in a program like this, contact John. You heard it. There's 25,000 refugees right now from North Korea living in South Korea. A small percentage of those would come through the program. They need help, and they need help right now. That would would help leadership in North Korea when ultimately the country and South Korea somehow are able to figure it out and merge, and not be North Korea won't be a page one like they are today. You're helping the world. You're helping probably the whole peace process of keeping the planet intact. So it's author J. Cha at yahoo.com. Give the phone number one more time.
415-373-2580.
All right, folks, this is Rick Rosman for All Things Charity Radio. See you next week. Make it a great week. God bless.
You're listening to All Things Charity with Richard Rosman, right here on LA Talk Radio.